to Westmead Libraries Podcast. My name is Caroline Barry. Well, can you believe it is April already? And the month of April is a really important time in libraries throughout Ireland because we celebrate Spring into Storytime. And Spring into Storytime is part of the National Right to Read programme, which aims to promote literacy and reading development for people of all ages and all backgrounds. Now, we've lots going on in Westmead Libraries supporting young people getting involved with reading. We have book clubs, we have toddler playgroups, we have story times, naturally. So if you want to find out what's going on in your local library, by all means, listen to the podcast. But just in case some new things have been programmed, why not go on to www.westmeathculture.ie and see what's going on in your local library. Now, during today's podcast, I've been very fortunate to have been joined by a wonderful librarian called Adele Scally. Adele, move in there to the microphone now so we can hear you.
Right, well, we've got two main local history rooms in the county. We're very lucky. We have Mullingar Local History Room, which is our main stock of books. But then we also have a second room in Athlone Library. And we also have a special collection there called the Aidan Heavey Collection, which is available to scholars. Then in the all our rest of our branch libraries, we've got a small collection put into each of them, which we review regularly to make sure that the local people are able to access books about the area. So say if you're in Castle Pollard, you'll be able to get books about Castle Pollard, about Four, about Cool. If you're in Kilbeggan, you'll be able to get books about Kilbeggan, about Tyrrell's Pass, Rahew, and the area, the surrounding area. So it's to try and make sure that there's always something in the small libraries as well as what's in the big libraries. But if you want to go and see something major, say you would want to view the microfilms, which on the microfilms you'd be looking at newspapers, you'd be looking at the Southern Cross, you'd be looking at particular collections that we've managed to have put on microfilm. So then you'd have to go to Mullingar and Athlone. And it is always best to make your appointment before you go there so that you know that the machine is free and that there's a member staff able to help you. So it'll be myself in Mullingar, and then it will be our two ladies, Lorna and Anne, in Athlone.
Wow, it's a fantastic resource.
It is.
What kind of person is coming in and using the local history library?
We have people doing their family research. Now, we don't do genealogy ourselves, but we try to assist where we can with collections, as in we would have maybe the list of the graveyards. They're available in Mullingar Library. It was a project, the main project was done by a gentleman called Micheál O'Connellan, who passed away since, but he spent nearly 10 years putting together a list of all the graveyards, the headstones in the graveyards in the county. Then other graveyards would have been done by local groups, such as All Saints in Mullingar or Kilbixie. All those groups gave us a copy as well, so we have that available. And it's a great resource for people, especially if they want to try and find out what graveyard their family were buried in, especially in some cases where you have an old graveyard that was used up to a certain time period and then there's a new one, so it narrows things down for them. And also there's an index. He did an index in each one, so you can actually look by surname and by graveyard, yeah, which is a huge advantage. We would also have the census, however, of course, prior to 1911, it's only just the stats. But then from 1911 and on, you have the two census there that you would have, the 1901 and the 1911, we'd have both of them available online and in the library as well. Online is very, very handy to use. Mm. And when people come in, we do introduce people to what the services are available online and on our computers. And we also have in-house access to the newspapers and a very handy collection for those that are coming to the north of Westmead. We would have access now to some of the Tully Nally papers, which would give details in relation to those that worked at Packenham Hall, Tully Nally Castle, and also some of those who were tenants for the castle. So that's a lovely chunk of social history that people are now able to find out. If they know their family were tenants, they may be able to find out the actual house that they were in and a bit more about their lifestyle back then. So we do try to assist people where we can when they come into us.
So Adele, I believe a lot of schools also use the local history room. Why would they be doing that?
Well, it's now part of the curriculum for both primary and secondary that they would gain an understanding of local history. Now, with the secondary school students, it is much more detailed and in-depth. So they would do project work for their junior cert history, and then those that carry on to leaving cert, again, would have a major project to do. We would get a lot of secondary schools that come into us for a visit. They just want to know what the room is like, what about the books, the documents, the maps, the microfilm machines, what newspapers, just to see what exactly is we have. And sometimes it's then that a lot of the students that come into us would actually decide what to do the projects on. Or if they've already got what they have in mind, what is available to them. Because in a lot of cases, they may want to do something like, say, a local ruin they know was a big house once. But unfortunately, it doesn't necessarily mean there's actually anything about that house, because the records could have gone with the house.
Oh.
They could have been destroyed, burned, or gone with the family if they left Ireland completely. So we do have a number of books that are very good like that, the likes of, say, Donal O'Brien's The Great Houses of Westmeath and Families. It gives you the details of a lot of ruins that he spent a long time gathering, and otherwise you wouldn't have a source for those students. The second group then is the primary school students. They like to do something about their area. Yeah. So they would again come in, and wherever their school is based, we talk about their school and where it is and what are the local landmarks, and see what we can find about them. Now, yes, a lot of stuff in local history rooms are orientated for adults, but that doesn't mean that there isn't resources that children can access. There's a lot of locally produced booklets and newsletters that parishes produce that are very user-friendly for the children. And also, 9 times out of 10, they spot their parents or their grandparents in them.
Right.
And that can be a big thrill for them, because it gives them a link back.
Yeah.
Like, people think that history is... it must be over 100 years old, or it must be something like that for it to be history. No, history is yesterday.
Mm.
So for a lot of people who are, say, under the age of 20, to them, history is 20 years ago. The Cold War is, you know, not long ago for us. And yet for them, it's a long, long time.
Okay.
It's to try and bear that in mind, that for kids... sometimes it's about tapping into what they know now.
Yeah.
Like, say, if their local GAA pitch was built 20 years ago.
Right.
To us, that's only around, yesterday.
Yesterday.
But to the kids, that's long before them. That was built before they were born. That is history.
Yeah.
And even that is a project then. And it's great to introduce them and to carry on that.
And would they be interested in the Dukas homework project?
The Dukas, a lot of children, they love the Dukas thing, because when they start reading it...
Yeah.
It's not just stories about what was in the area. Sometimes they're talking about their own families.
Right.
And they do love to read the stories and see what, especially if they think that it was their relative that actually wrote the story.
Wow.
It's even more
better.
Wonderful for them. Another thing I find they love is we've got the Midland Herald. It was a short run newspaper that was at the end of the 40s, the start of the 50s. It only ran for a very short period of time. But during its time, it was very political.
Right.
So there's items in there about the end of the war, the status across Europe, stuff that you wouldn't have seen in the local newspapers because it wasn't deemed to be fully suitable.
Okay.
But it's in that newspaper. So a lot of secondary school students, when they come in, they love going through that newspaper. The stuff they find, and it's a no-holds-barred newspaper.
Right.
I probably didn't fit very well with a lot of people at the time.
Right.
But it did give another point of view. Yeah. And it's something that for our young people nowadays, they like something that grabs them out like that. And a lot do find their projects in those.
Tell me your favourite thing in the local history room.
Oh, this is going to be difficult. There's certain things I love. There's a book of maps that we... have that are not, they're nowhere else to be found, and they've little annotations on them from where the actual people working on the maps, it was obviously a work in progress, and they were writing and changing the outlines and everything on it. So that is just amazing to have something like that, because you don't see normally something like that outside the National Archives. So those book of maps, they're amazing to have. Another thing I love, I know it sounds morbid, but I love the collection of graveyards
really?
Surveys. Because, again, it's sometimes it's the inscriptions.
Yeah.
It's Micheál Conaghan especially, he, if it was an inscription on a gravestone, he wrote down the entire inscription. And some of them are really poignant.
Really?
And if he found plaques on a wall in a church or something, he also would note that as well. Anything like that that was around the church, he noted.
Yeah.
And it's the social history behind it that I love. It's amazing what you can find.
Amazing. You have seen groups of kids get very, very excited when you talk about, we'll have a look and see, was there any criminals in the family way back when? Now, what's that all about?
Well, it's not quite the criminals, but it's kids think that, you know, especially for secondary school kids, it's to give them an idea of how real life really was.
Yeah.
By the time they go to secondary school, they definitely need, you know, they need to be more realistic with them.
Yes.
You can't airy fairy the history. Yeah. They know about 1916. They know what happened in Ireland for 800 years. They know what's happened in other countries. They've read about World War II. They've read about the famine. Everything. They're developing a much more knowledge. So the transportation lists are something that I pull out.
They're amazing.
And it lists every single person who went from Westmeath. But it also has this for the whole of Ireland. You can actually access this online. We just were very lucky that we got a transcription done, again, by Micheál. Of just the Westmeath people, and it gives a listing of what they went to court for, where
nothing,
they were sent,
like for nothing, for stealing,
what their sentence
bread.
Was. It's shocking. I mean, in one case, I found a husband and wife that were both. I think he was hung. She was sent to Australia, and the kids. Those children mentioned, but no, there's no mention as to what happened to those kids.
Okay.
And that is something. That's the kind of thing.
And
that,
what was their crime? Something like.
I think they stole something. I can't even remember now the details now, to be honest with you. But it was stealing.
It was a lot of sheep rustling.
Again, in a lot of cases, it was for food. It wasn't to sell. It was simply for food. It was simply for survival. And it's a very good way of showing teenagers the kind of social history that came 150 100, or to 100 years before us.
Mm.
And it is very good for them to read.
Now, Adele, you're absolutely font of knowledge and you're a fantastic speaker. And I know that yourself and Lorna over in Athlone Library have a podcast. Have you a podcast each?
We've got a series that we've been working on for a while. It's called Past Perspectives. And we're very lucky because we have another lady in the county, Dervla, who is brilliant at IT. And she's been putting together the podcast, doing all the nitty and gritty stuff for us. But basically, we got a list of people we'd love to interview in relation to their use of the local studies rooms and the archives that we're able to give them access to. And included in it, we had local historians, we had university lecturers, we had past staff who've now working themselves as local historians. We had a member of staff who is herself building a reputation for being a very good local historian and artist. No, this is actually Lorna. This is Lorna. And it's to give people an idea as to what exactly is out there, and that the local studies collection, it's not, people think it's only for finding out about your family. It's not.
Yeah.
You find out the social history, you find about your area, you find about archaeology, you find about people. But also, one of the most recent ladies that I interviewed, she's a lecturer, and she actually used documents from local history, stuff that's called the Slaters and the Toms directories. They're a list of businesses. And she used them to actually understand sustainability in the past in order to work on future projects. And they seem to be doing a huge amount of work on that at NUIG at the moment.
Wow.
Sustainability and with local studies. So it's a massive, massive area.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show that it's not just looking up your great-great-granny anymore. There's so much more to the local history rooms than people realise.
And when is Perspectives going to be aired?
Well, we're actually on the third one at the moment. This week, Eamon Hughes was interviewed by Lorna. He's a historian in the south of the county. So it's his perspective on life and on local history. Last week we had Ruth Illingworth, who would be a local historian in Mullingar. And she's a local historian in the Mullingar area. She's one of the experts on the town. So she had some very... I interviewed her. She had some wonderful anecdotes and advice.
She's amazing, Ruth. Like, I mean, amazing.
Yeah, there's nothing she doesn't know about the area. She's brilliant. We also had a previous one then where we actually had Lorna, member of staff in Athlone herself, was interviewed, because she is actually a phenomenal worker herself in local history. She has a couple of publications, and she also is an extremely talented illustrator and has illustrated quite a number of local history books.
Wow.
So it's every week there's somebody different. Dervla will be releasing the name on Friday as to who's going to be coming out next Tuesday. That's how she lets us know. So it's nice. It keeps us on our toes as well. And then we let everybody know who's out there. But it really is, as I said, to show people that there's a lot more to the local studies room than your family history, and how these people have, they've discovered so much themselves that they didn't realise existed.
So anybody can come into the local?
Absolutely anybody. Man, woman, child can walk into that room and they're more than welcome.
They can be looking for anything. They can just decide, I'm going to take a look at what's here.
Yes, they can come in, have a look. If they want to have a chat with me or the ladies in Athlone, and see if there's anything particular they're interested in. I mean, we've had people come in who, for myself, I had one lady who just, she was a house opposite her and she'd always wondered about it.
Really?
And it turned out it was actually a mill. But she discovered that in a really old collection that we have on the mills of Ireland. And that's how she found out.
Right.
But it's something so simple.
Yeah.
And yet she went on an adventure with it.
Yeah.
And that's all it's really about.
Fantastic. Adele, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I am absolutely delighted with that. So please do call in and visit Adele here in Mullingar, or Lorna over in Athlone, or just go to your local library. There is a local library section, isn't there?
Yeah.
And
you always have Lorna and Anne. The two of them are always in Athlone, the same as I'm always here. So you'll always get one of us at
some stage. Okay, so Anne also is an expert over there. Oh, that's fantastic. And then, of course, check out Perspectives
Past Perspectives comes out every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday. And if you go to www.westmeadculture.ie, you will find the podcast there. Thanks a million, Adele.
Thank you very much.
That was the wonderful Adele Scally there over in Mullingar Library. Now, with regard to programming for the rest of the month, I'm going to go through a list of what's happening in all the libraries throughout the county during the month of April. There are several baby and toddler groups run in different libraries throughout the county. So, for example, over in Moat Library, the baby and toddler group meet there every Tuesday morning from 10 a.m. until 12. So starting on April 2nd, the next meeting will be the 9th, the 23rd and the 30th of April. You can meet up with other parents and carers with babies and small children to relax and chat together while the children play. The group is self-sufficient and there is a selection of suitable toys and hand-picked books available. All are welcome. There's no need to book. Just pop in any time between 10 and 12 p.m. Meanwhile, over in Mullingar, there's a baby book club and a toddler group, and they meet every Friday morning from 10 a.m. to 11. So starting on April 5th, the following Friday, the 12th, the 19th, and the 26th of April, you can pop in between 10 and 11 over in Mullingar for the baby book club and toddler group. All are welcome, and there's no need to book. Meanwhile, over in Athlone Library on the 2nd of April at 11:30 a.m. to 12, there is an event for story time at Athlone Library. So it's a children's story time for children aged between 5 and 7 years. Booking is required. It's one ticket per child. So go online to www.westmeathculture.ie and book your child's place at the Athlone Children's Storytime on the 2nd of April. Now, if you're a child and you like playing with Lego, there are lots of Lego free plays to engage in different libraries. So, for example, you can call into Cabegan Library at any time and ask, please, may I have the Lego? Meanwhile, there's a Lego free play day organised over in Moat on Thursday, the 4th of April at 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., All you have to do is turn up to the library. The library supplies the Lego and you can create your own Lego masterpiece. There's no registration required. While over in Athlone, there is a big Blockbusters Lego free play, and that's going to take place on the 20th of April at 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Now, the sessions are usually held on the third Saturday of every month. They are extremely popular, so spaces are limited. So make sure to book your spot by registering online or telephoning Athlone Library. All children must be accompanied by an adult. And if you can't make it on the day, can you let people know or cancel your booking, because there'll be always another child that wants to partake. Now, I started this book club, it must be the end of September last year, and I most certainly did not expect it to take off and be as popular as it is. It's an under 12s book club for children aged between 8 and 12 years of age. So the children insisted we meet once a week. Most book clubs run once a month because it usually takes a month to read a book. But these children love the book club so much, and they really enjoy our discussions. They enjoy each other's company. And because I'm a published author, I also teach a little bit of creative writing. So we would do a bit of creative writing. We'd analyse texts. We'll discuss ideas. And we will talk about what book we'd like to read next. And then we'd try and save our analysis for the final week of the month to discuss the book that we've just read. At the moment, we're reading Ross Weldon's fantastic book, Into the Sideways World. And that generated such an amazing discussion last Friday that we were in the library for 2 hours talking about ideas of multi-dimensions. So for any child out there that is interested in reading and would like to read and write and meet other like-minded young people, they are more than welcome to join the Under 12s Book Club in Cabegan Library. We meet every Friday afternoon at about 3:10. It mostly finishes up at about 4:15, unless we get some very exciting days where they can't help themselves and they want to stay a little bit longer. So if you have a child between that age group, 8 and 12, they're more than welcome to join the gang over here in Cabegan Library. Sometimes children get stuck in a reading rut. They like one author, and once they've finished all the books that author has written, they don't know where to go next and they don't know what to read next. Well, no need to worry. We actually have a children's book doctor, and her name is Lorna. She's a fantastic librarian at the Athlone Library, and she's going to be running a children's book clinic. So you're invited on the 6th of April if you have a child aged 8 and upwards who doesn't know what to read next but has very specific tastes and interests. You're invited along to the book clinic. Lorna will run this drop-in book clinic, and she will get suggestions for what your child might like to continue reading based on their interests. There's no need to book a space. Just drop in with your child and pick up a book prescription. Now, on a different topic completely, are you a breastfeeding mother? If you are, there are a couple of support groups run in both Mullingar and in Athlone Library. So in Mullingar, the breastfeeding meetup happens every Friday, so once a week, and the first meeting in April is on the 5th of April at 11 a.m. to 12. The next one is the 12th of April, the 19th of April, and the 26th. So that support group at Mullingar Library meets up at 11 a.m. It's led by a public health nurse. Her name is Colleen. There is a number for Colleen online at www.westmeadculture.ie if you feel you need to have a chat with her about anything. You don't need to register for the breastfeeding meetup. You just come along and join other mothers. It's all free, and it's a wonderful way to get supported as you breastfeed your child. Meanwhile, the breastfeeding group that meet in Athlone are called Quiddu, and they meet twice a month. They meet once on an evening and once on a morning. So the first meeting during the month of April for Quidu, the breastfeeding support group in Athlone, is on the 11th of April at 7 p.m. until 8 p.m. And the next meeting that Quidu have is on the 16th of April, and that takes place at 10:30 in the morning until 12. And again, there's no need to register, just turn up and meet other breastfeeding mothers. Now, if you are a stressed out parent or a guardian, Barnardo's are running a wellbeing programme over in Athlone Library, and it's going to run for 6 weeks. It takes place on a Wednesday morning from 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. And over the 6 weeks, you learn how to do some gentle breathing and movement to improve your sleep and reduce stress and make you feel calm and relaxed. And once you've calmed and relaxed, at the end of the whole thing, you can have a cup of tea and a cup of coffee. So if there's any more that you need to know about this, go online to www.westmeadculture.ie. So there are lots of book clubs that you can join in any of the libraries here in Westmeath. In Athlone, they run a book club on the first Thursday of every month at 6:30 to 7:30 in Athlone Library. And of course, as with all of the book clubs, new members are welcome. Over in Moat, they run a book club for beginners. So if you're around on Thursday, the 25th of April at 11 o'clock in the morning till 12, why not pop into Moat Library and join the beginners book club there? Otherwise, over at Mullingar Library, their book club meets on the last Thursday of every month, so the 25th of April. And again, they meet at 6:30 in the evening until 7:30. And as usual, new members are always welcome. And always remember, you can pick up the phone or you can contact the library and just make an inquiry as to when is the next book club meeting. Meanwhile, here in Quebecan Library, there is an adult science fiction book club. And again, the next meeting for them is the 25th, Thursday, the 25th of April. But, you know, they do shift the day. So just kind of stay in touch on social media. If you go to Westmeath Libraries and join the Westmeath Library site, you will get to see on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter what events are happening and what book clubs are taking place. Or otherwise, go on to www.westmeathculture.ie. There are plenty of knitting and crochet groups taking place in different libraries and craft groups throughout the county. So, for example, over in Moat on a Monday morning, the Knit and Natter group meet at 10:30 until 12:30. They always welcome new members. Here in Quebecan, they meet on Monday afternoons and at 2 o'clock, and new members again are always welcome. And more recently, they did a very interesting project for Mullingar Hospital. And if you go online, you can find out a bit more about that project. If you look at our blog, it was a very sensitive, very moving project that I think is now being brought over to Tullamore. There's also a women's knitting group over in Castle Pollard Libraries, and they meet on a Tuesday morning. They're called the M4 group, and they meet at 10:30 until 12 on a Tuesday. And again, new members are welcome. And then I know that over in Mullingar, for example, they have a patchwork and a needlecraft group. And they're meeting on the 8th, 15th, 22nd and 29th of April. That is a Monday. So if you go over to Mullingar Library on a Monday at 1 p.m. to 2 p.m, there is that patchwork and needlecraft group. So really, it's about sharing ideas. New members are always welcome, but remember that the materials are not provided. And if you want to find out anything about any of these groups, just contact the libraries. Now, for anybody interested in free English language classes, Castle Pollard Library are hosting the LWETP, who run these classes over in the library every Wednesday morning from 10 a.m. until 12. So registration is not required, but it is for adults over 18. So that's English classes over in Castle Pollard Library. There are regular war games now every 3 weeks over in Athlone Library, and they take place from 5 in the evening until 8. And currently they are playing combat control and 500 point games of Warhammer with a blood bowl. available as well. So beginners are welcome, and according to my notice here, they're saying that Athlone Library can supply an army if needed and can show you Warhammer and Kill Team or Battletech. So if there's another game you'd like to play, reach out and we'll see if we can support you or find an opponent. Warhammer is free, registration is required, and it is suitable for people age 16 and up. So there you go now. If you're looking for something to do on the 16th of April, by all means, go ahead into Athlone Library. Staying with the Aidan Heavey Library over in Athlone, they are running an online course in heartfulness and meditation. And that's going to take place on the 18th of April at 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. You have to book online or at the library desk. And if you go onto our website at www.westmeadculture.ie, you can click a link there to find out more about heartfulness and the meditation of the Heartfulness Foundation. So it is a free event, but you do need to register. Now, we have a very popular Thursday afternoon here over in Kilbeggan Library. We've lots on at 2:30 to 4:30 every Thursday afternoon. We have a group that meet to play bridge, and they always welcome new members. It's a fantastic group. They're all very lovely, and you're more than welcome to join them. You don't need to register, and it is free to come along. And then directly after bridge, at around 4:30 to 5:30, we have an Irish-speaking circle. And we are so fortunate to have the wonderful Sister Immaculata with us. She's a retired Irish school teacher, but she's absolutely brilliant. We have the best fun. And we have all standards that take part. We have some very rusty Irish speakers, and we have some that are definitely fluent. So between the whole lot of us, we do learn an awful lot. And again, we've got the wonderful guidance of Sister Immaculata. So that's the Irish speaking circle, Thursday afternoon from 4:30 to 5:30, and new members are always welcome. And just to say, there are many support groups that meet in different libraries throughout the county. And just to give you some examples, for example, the Shine Peer Support Group meets in Athlone Library, and they meet fortnightly at 1:30 to 3 p.m. So the next meeting, I think, is the 24th of April. And really, they're all about sharing and supporting anybody that may be experiencing mental health challenges. So if you'd like, if you're interested in going to the group, all you have to do is email midlands@shine.ie, or if you go online, there's a number there for a man called Jason, and you can contact him and find out a bit more. Well, that's it from me, Caroline Barry. I hope you get involved in Spring into Storytime in your local library during the month of April. I look forward to talking to you next month, and by then I shall be able to discuss Libraries of Sanctuary with Deirdre Broderick, who is the Executive Librarian over in Mullingar Library. Until then, thank you for joining me, and I will talk to you in May.